Oh, we already did the walk-in, I'm sorry. Okay, let me get situated here. We're going to do some reading today, so I'm going to call on some of you. And Gloria, I'm glad you got here because you're on this list too. Let's see. It's going to be an Esther. And no, this lesson is not about Esther.
No, it's not.
No. It's going to be Esther 3, 5, 6, and 7. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. Hey, Sydney, can you start us off with a prayer? Because I need it badly.
Let's pray, guys. Father, we are so grateful that you have allowed us to come together this morning, Father. It's not only worship you, Lord, but to hear the message that you're going to speak through Todd, Father. We ask, God, that you just be with Todd, Father. Fill him with your spirit, Father. Give him the words that he needs to say, Lord. We also ask that everyone here, God, as we participate, Father, fill us all with your spirit, God, that we may... God, speak your word that will be encouraging to each other, God, uplift each other, Lord, and will be the truth, Father. And we thank you so much for allowing us to come together to worship and hear the message in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. So, too many strings. Okay, I decided to do a lesson on Haman.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard one before, and unfortunately I found out why. Not a lot of information out there, so we're going to do a lot of readings. So Haman lived in the 5th century BCE. And I know what BCE stands for. What does E stand for? I know they changed this a few years ago.
I want to say it's before Christ and this.
Really?
That's my guess.
Yeah. You can ask Google, brother. Keep going.
Now, Haman is the main antagonist... That means bad guy. In the book of Esther, the events in the Bible are thought to have occurred around 483 to 482 BCE and conclude in 473, which shocked me because a lot of times when you're reading the Bible, it seems like it happens in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, so that kind of surprised me. He lived in Susa, the capital of Persia. He was a vizier to Xerxes I, also known as King... I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. A vizier is a high-ranking political advisor or minister in the countries of Greater Persia. He was made the second most powerful person in the Persian Empire by Xerxes. And to give you an idea of how big this empire is, it was 2.1 million square miles. And encompassed 127 different provinces. It stretched from the Balkans and Egypt in the west to the Indus Valley in the east, and from Central Asia in the north to parts of northeastern Africa in the south. I'm sure somebody here can actually visualize that. I cannot. But to give you a comparison, the U.S., which we all know very well, is 3.8 miles. So,
million.
Yeah, 3 million miles. Excuse me. Thank you. Don't ever do that again. So the Persian Empire was almost about, I don't know, 60% or so of the size of America. But keep in mind, they had camels and horses and foot power back then. We have cars. When Delisa and I drove from here to Nevada, it took us about 2.5 days. Back then, that would be, you know, who knows how much.
It would be a long time.
It would definitely be a long time. Now, he was, in chapter 3 of Esther, he was called an Agagite. This signifies that he was a king, a relative of King Agag, whom Saul was to destroy, along with all the Amalekites, but he did not. These people were the first to attack the Israelites after leaving Egypt. Talked about Exodus 17:8. And the significance of Haman's ancestor comes into play in this. It says here, fuels Haman's hatred. While Haman's initial rage is provoked by Mordecai's refusal to bow in chapter 3, his Malachite ancestry provides the underlying motivation for his genocidal plot against the entire Jewish people. So I always thought about why he wanted, instead of just killing Mordecai or shaming him or whatever, why all of a sudden he decided to kill the entire Jewish population throughout the entire province, throughout the entire kingdom. So that's all that we know from the Bible. But does anybody know what a midrash is? I didn't either. In rabbinic tradition, a midrash is used in a rabbinic mode of interpretation prominent in the Talmud. The word itself means textual interpretation, study, or exegesis, derived from the root verb darash, which means to resort, seek with care, inquire, and require. Some of the things in rabbinic tradition that Haman is noted for is he's considered to be the archetype of evil and persecutor of the Jews. It says here, being at one time extremely poor, he sold himself as a slave to Mordecai. Mm. Now, there again, that's in Jewish tradition. We don't know for a fact. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Then again, there's a lot of things that are not said in the Bible that are in fact true. He was a barber for 22 years, according to Jewish tradition. Haman had an idolatrous image embroidered on his garments so that those who bowed to him at command of the king bowed also to the image. There again, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but that could be another reason that Mordecai didn't bow. And Mordecai bowing to Haman, I don't think would have been a sin, because the Bible calls us to honor those above us, to pay homage to them. And, you know, it seems like it doesn't say none of the other Jews didn't do it. And there were a lot of Jewish people in Susa. So, but the Bible doesn't say specifically why Mordecai did not bow or pay homage to the person that is second in command in the entire Persian Empire. These could be a couple of reasons. You know, the fact that he might have been a slave to Mordecai, so Mordecai might have held him in contempt from that, or the fact that he might have had something on there, but nobody knows for sure. Haman was also an astrologer. I tell this by casting lots to figure out when to attack the Jews and annihilate them. So if, Scott, if you can read Esther 3:1-5, okay. Chris 6-10, and Richard 11-15.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, but the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged.
Thank you.
6-10.
6-10, thank you.
Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, was cast in presence of Haman to select a day and month. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. And Haman said to King Xerxes, there is a certain people dispersed among peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury. So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, so son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews.
Keep the money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the kingdom's satraps, the governor of various provinces, and the nobles of various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all king's provinces with orders to destroy, kill, and annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, in the month of Adar, to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province, made known to the people of every nationality, so they would be ready for that day. The couriers went out, spurred on by the king's command, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered.
Thank you. And let's continue reading. Sydney, can you do 5, 9 through 14? And then Rob, 6, 6 to 11.
And Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, calling together his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above other nobles and officials. And that's not all. Haman added, I'm the only person, Queen Esther, invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction, as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate. 14 also?
Yes, please.
His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, have a pole set up, reaching to the height of the 5th cubits, and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself. This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the pole set up.
Okay, Rob, yeah, if you could do 6, Esther 6, 6 to 11, Delicia, Esther 6, 12 through 14.
When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor. Have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He rode Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." Afterwards, Mordecai returned to the... Let's see.
Next?
Yeah.
12 and 13, right?
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Suresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Suresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." 14.
Yes.
While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared.
Thank you. Glory, could you do Esther 7, 5 through 8? Mm-hmm.
King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "An adversary and enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?" As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face.
Yeah, and then I'll do 9 and 10. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, 'Impale him on it.' So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided." So, for having this, not a lot of information about Haman around, he sure played a huge part in this.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found out is that the king's palace was set on a hill inside Susa, and the pole that Haman put up was 50 cubits or cubits, which I'm not sure how it's tall. And they think that the reason it was so tall is Haman wanted to sit at the banquet and see him hanging on it. Mm. So
right.
So, but okay. Let's go on to the next. So it says many times you can assume that these events take place within a short period of time when you read the Bible. I mentioned this earlier. But after digging a little bit deeper, you can find out that many of these incidents stretch out months or years.
Yeah.
In this case, it seems to have lasted about 10 years. Think about that. Haman held on to his hatred for a decade simply because Mordecai would not pay him homage, would not bow down to him. Mm-hmm. And at any time, Haman could have let go of his anger and, you know, figured out a way to stop the slaughter, because in Persian law, once that king made a law and put a signet ring on there, couldn't change it. They could not stop that law. The only thing you could do is create another law that could countermand that, mm-hmm. which is what they did a little bit later in the book. And but if Haman would have been able to let go of that pride and that arrogance and that anger and insecurity, he could have saved his own life and the 75,000 men that died when they attacked the Jews at the appointed time. He didn't do it. So his pride and arrogance were definitely his downfall. Proverbs 16 and 18 reads, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yep. Proverbs 11, 12, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Haman was definitely disgraced when he had to lead Mordecai around on that horse. You know, put him, put a robe around him, some jewelry or whatever it was, and then lead him around and proclaim, here is how Xerxes honors this man. Okay. So I don't think that was the exact words, but now, that's, there again, there's no real answer to this, but why do you guys think Mordecai would not pay homage to Haman?
He's pagan. Jewish law requires that you do not bow to anybody who worships pagan or have pagan belief.
Okay, and that could lend itself to that midrash where they said it might have been symbolic, you know, evil symbolism in, on his clothing. Now, have any of you guys seen the movie Signs?
Yes.
Signs with Mel Gibson?
With Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago.
Yeah, we just saw it again the other day.
Oh, okay.
That's one of my favorite Mel Gibson movies.
All right.
But the first time you see it, it seems like there's a lot of random stuff going on, right?
Yes.
You know, the girl drinking the water and then leaving half-filled glasses everywhere.
Right. Yes.
Let's see. Merrill, you know, he when he's looking to join the Army, they start talking about his baseball career. He hit a lot of home runs, majestic home runs. He even had a plaque that he hit a 507-foot home run or something like that. But he never got a chance to go to the big leagues or advance any further in his career because he struck out, evidently, a lot more than he hit home runs. And then the wife getting pinned to that tree by that car. Mm-hmm. And it literally, evidently, literally, they said it cut her in half, but she was pinned in there that the car was literally keeping her alive long enough for Mel Gibson's character to get there. And then she just seemed to, you know, say a bunch of random things, like see, tell Merrill to hit away, right? Mm-hmm. And then, Morgan has a little boy. You know, they're down in that thing, down in the basement. He has asthma, evidently. They don't have his asthma medicine. Mm-hmm. And we all know what happened. You know, the alien came, invaded their house. Merrill standing here, Mel Gibson standing here. His bat is on the wall right there. And he goes, Merrill, hit away. So Merrill starts hitting all these random glasses that are everywhere because they found out the aliens don't like water. So it's like God was in charge of the whole situation and set all this stuff up. There again, when I first time I saw the movie, it was like, well, this is just, what has all this got to do with that? But now think about this. God is not random. He set up Esther to just the way he wanted. Remember the 2.1 million square miles, right? The queen defies the king, he gets rid of her, he looks for another wife, another queen. So they brought women from all over the kingdom to there. That had to take a long time. Because of the, but the one that God had chosen was already there. And then Mordecai hears those two treasonous officials. He gets word to the king. So now that comes into play later on in the story. He was, you know, when he was honored. Haman, impaled on the same gallows he erected that he was going to hang Mordecai on. So, you know, all the story seemed random, and it's, but God doesn't do anything random. Mm-hmm. And then just a couple questions. How many of us are holding on to something that could prove to be our downfall? You know, why are we doing it? And then what are we going to do about it? You know, there again, Haman had a chance, had 10 years to let go of that hatred, of that anger, because one man wouldn't bow down to him. Uh-huh, uh-huh. and talk about living rent free, right?
Right, right, yeah.
But you know, no, these don't require any answers, but just, you know, something to think about.
Right.
So I'm sure we all have something that if we let it fester, get out of control, could prove to be our downfall as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I guess we're doing communion.
Communion, probably closing song.
Pray for communion.
Yep, yeah. Can you pray for us?
Yes.